Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, Lord, as we gather here, Lord, our hearts beat truly to how great you truly are. Father, in redeeming us, purchasing our salvation, setting us free, Lord, we are gathered here to worship you for all that you have done. Lord, as we begin to open your word, Father, I pray that we would hear from you, that your spirit would enable and empower, and Lord, that we would receive truths from your word, and Lord, we would be changed eternally for your glory. Father, I do not desire to just repeat and regurgitate truths, but Lord, that it must be empowered by your spirit. Father, if we gather here and you do not meet with us, Lord, it is pointless and it's in vain. Father, we claim your promises that you will meet with us. Father, we desire to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, as we prepare our hearts to receive your word, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would begin a great revival in our hearts here. Lord, that you would take the sword of your word and it would pierce into our hearts. And Father, that we would remove the things you want us to remove, and Lord, accept what you want us to accept, and Lord, be changed for your glory. Lord, we desire to meet with you. Father, remove me and my ideas. Lord, everything that I am, Lord, I know I am completely incapable to do anything apart from you. Father, empower. Use your word. We pray this for your glory. Amen. We'll be in Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 14 is going to be our main point, our main launch text this morning. Ephesians 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 13 to pick up a little context. We will look later in a couple points up through the preceding verses. Verse number 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Verse number 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. It's an interesting phrase here. Paul, in one of the prison epistles, writing to the church, and he tells them that it's an interesting phrase. He tells them, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Then he says this, arise from the dead. If you look up in the verse, you can realize these are believers, but Paul is telling them to awake from sleeping and to arise from the dead. I truly believe, if you study the previous verses, that you will come to the same conclusion, that these are genuine believers. He is not calling them in the sense, in this context, to arise spiritually from the dead as in salvation. I believe these are already people that have been born again, that have been regenerated by the Spirit of God, because he gives them commands earlier in verse number 1, be followers of God, and verse number 2, walk in love. Verse number 7, be not therefore partakers with them. Verse number 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light. This is a passage that is referring to believers. So as we interpret this verse number 14, we can conclude that it is possible for the church of Jesus Christ to fall asleep. It is possible for the church of Jesus Christ to be dead. Positionally alive, positionally saved, but physically and presently dead.
As we begin this new year, I believe it is imperative that we start the new year off on the right foot. And I believe as I was praying earlier this week, I had a completely different message that I was supposed to, that I wanted to preach. I got up Thursday morning and began to pray. And I said, and it was this passage of scripture just continued to come to my mind. And I couldn't get away from it all week. I believe that God is wanting this church to hear this message. I believe this is truly from the Lord. I believe it is now high time to awake. To arise. To wake up from sleeping. To arise from the dead. It is time that we begin to seek God again. It is time. It is time we awake. It's an urgency. This is a plea that we awake from sleeping. Now, what does it mean to be sleeping here in this passage? Do you think he's literally talking about people who sleep in church? That'd be a good illustration, right? You're not supposed to sleep in church. It says it right here, awake from the sleep. It's not talking necessarily about a physical sleep, necessarily. I believe these people were alive, well, physically. They were conscious. But spiritually, they were sleeping. So he calls them, I call them this first point, the sleeping saints. Listen to this. The Greek word here for sleepest, we're going to pick up a lot of information from this. The way you pronounce it is kathudu. It means I am sleeping. Or it means yielding to slothfulness and being indifferent to following God. The reason you get that the word I am sleeping is because this is a present tense participle in the Greek, meaning this is a continual ongoing action. It's not a place that it's a declared a certain time, but it's understood within the grammatical structure. This is an understood thing that this person is sleeping. And you look in reference to this verse, in verse number 13, it's talking about the light being made manifest, and whatsoever doth the make manifest is light. So to understand this sleeping, to wake thou that sleepest, it's God has shown this church light. This body of believers have received light. But he is telling them, thou that sleepest, that their response to that light was, I don't want it. I am sleeping. God has given them light, has exposed and has reproved and shown them light. But when they have seen light, their response to the light was, I'm sleeping. It wasn't something that they fell asleep and they didn't know someone was speaking to them. No, it's that God has called them, God has given them light, God has drawn them to a specific purpose in their response to God's light. I'm sleeping. I am sleeping. How many of you have or had teenagers? Right? What is the common way that you wake them up if they don't get up? It's 12 o'clock. Huh? Some of them will take the blinds and go whoosh, right? And the sunlight comes in, or you'll turn on the light, right? And what is their typical response? The response to the light, the person that's trying to wake them up, the response to the light is, I'm sleeping. Do not wake me up. That is the response of these believers to God's light to them. I believe with all of my heart that God would send revival to our churches in a second. I believe that he would change counties. I think he would change a whole entire country But I believe with all of my heart that this is the response of the Church of Jesus Christ to his prodding in their hearts. They say, do not wake me up, for I am sleeping. This is the understanding of the text, is I do not want to be bothered. I am fine where I'm at. I do not want to be bothered with that light. I do not want to wake up. I am sleeping. Do not wake me up. Do not change anything. Do not make any decisions. Don't do anything. I'm sleeping. I like it like this. One of the main problems in 21st century American Christianity is we do not want light. We're comfortable. This year, what will your response to God's prodding in your life be? Why is it typically that people want to stay in the bed? They're comfortable. I'm going to preach there for a while. She's coming up with my points. It's comfortable, isn't it? We'll see it later in this text, but he says, to those that are sleeping saints, what does the response that he gives them? He commands them to what? To awake. To awake is the word awake is the Greek word egairo, means to awake from a state of comfort or slothfulness. If God is telling these believers to awake, what comes to your mind when you think of awake? If you're like me, I'm like a grizzly bear when I awake. It takes me a little bit, right? But this word, it means coming to your senses. It means coming to a realization of your current situation. He is telling them, this church is sleeping. And he has given you light, he has shown you light, but your response to that light is, I am sleeping. I don't want to have light. I want to continue in the state that I am, for it is comfortable. But God's response to them was to awake. If there is a message that the churches across this country need, it is to say, awake, arise from the sleep. Arise when you are sleeping. We are no longer should we be sleeping. No longer should we be slothful in our pursuit of Christ. No longer should we take the things of God and just make them, whether they're important to us or not, it really doesn't matter. The things of God should be the most important things in our life, should be priority. So the question comes, how do we know if we're sleeping? Right? Because if we've just been going through the routines and religion as it is, how would you know that you're sleeping? Well, let's look at some of the characteristics of a sleeping saint. Look it up in verse number 4 with me. Look at a sleeping saint is characterized, I put this just to kind of a highlight, by careless living. Look at verse number 4. It says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but of giving thanks. You know, a characteristic of a saint that is sleeping is they'll be very careless in the way that they live. The things of God, it's not a discipline in their life. It's not a point that they make to seek after the things of God. This carries the weight that, oh, I know Jesus, I'm good. And my life is full of jokes and careless living and jesting. It's all about fun and having a good time and riotous living. I live for myself. Yeah, I know Jesus. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. But their life is characterized by careless living. It's very carefree. The things of God, it doesn't really matter if they seek them or if they don't. It's not really, the things of God are really not that big of a deal to them. That's the first characteristic of a sleeping saint. Look at the second one. But he says, but rather giving of thanks. But give thanks. These saints, they weren't thankful. A characteristic of a sleeping church or a sleeping saint is they take things for granted. They're not thankful. We as believers need to be thankful for everything that we have. We need to appreciate one another. We need to be thankful for one another and what everyone does within this building. Do you understand that? We need to be thankful for each other and all the things that God has given us. Our heart should be overflowing with thanksgiving. How many of you slept in a warm bed last night? How many of you have clothes to wear? Obviously, I hope you wouldn't come if you didn't. But we have food in our bellies, right? We have roofs over our head. The Bible says, with food and raiment, be there with content, right? But are we? If all you had was your daily bread and a roof over your house and clothes, would you be content? Would you be thankful for that? Many times we're not thankful and we have an abundant blessing. Many of us have good jobs and we drive nice cars and we have been blessed abundantly, yet we still carry a heart of unthankfulness. There are people across this world that won't eat a meal today. A vast majority of the population in the entire world will eat a cup of rice and that will be their meal, their portion for the entire day. You go to a foreign country, do you know what they say about America? They say it's the land of kings. They say everyone in your country lives as a king. You have running water, you have a stove, you have food, you have a refrigerator, you have cars and vehicles and mansions. You have everything. Yet the American church is asleep, and a lot of times that they're asleep because they have been lulled to sleep by prosperity. Every time Israel prospered, they fell into idolatry, didn't they? I have a concern in my heart that because the American church is so blessed and we're so prosperous and we have all the things that we need, we have grown distant from God. We need to be thankful. Look at verse number 5, another characteristic of a sleeping saint. Verse number 5. For this ye know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. These sleeping saints, you know what they have a fondness of? Things, covetousness. They're enamored with the things of this world. That's their focus. That's what their heart desires. They love to have things. They love to possess things. They love to have things. They're enamored with things and stuff and materialism. You will never find your fulfillment in anything this world has to offer. Do you understand that? There is nothing in this world that can offer you lasting peace and joy that God can. You will pursue an entire lifetime of vain and empty things if you're pursuing your joy and your fulfillment in things. It'll be empty. It'll be vain. You'll get something for Christmas this year, and the next year you want something completely different, right? It's never satisfying. But the church that is sleeping is enamored with things. Verse number 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but it says rather reprove them. This church wasn't They were accepting of status quo. They were accepting of darkness. They weren't reproving darkness. They were accepting of it. It wasn't a big deal. Sin in the church, it wasn't a big deal. We won't reprove it. We'll just let it happen. We'll let it go. It really doesn't matter if we live holy, if we pursue God. They were okay with the status quo. They were okay and tolerant with sin. They were okay and tolerant with the things of this world. They were okay and tolerant in not seeking God. They were okay and tolerant in sleeping. Because pursuing God and following Him, it's hard. It's difficult. I like to have all this stuff, and I like to have wealth, and I like to have comforts and ease instead of pursuing God and being a disciple of His. I would much rather have all this and sleep. And He calls this church to awake. We must awake from sleep. There are many things that will lull us to sleep as a church, and we need to reprove them. Secondly, come to an interesting phrase here. Not only does He call us to awake, it's not enough to just awake. It's not just enough to come to realization, yeah, that something I need to change. He says awake, and then He gives an action to it. What does He say here? Arise. Why does He say, awake, then arise? Why does He give action to this? See, if the church of the 21st century, if the church of Jesus Christ is going to see revival, it is not going to be enough just to see the problem. It is not going to fix it if we just see that we need to awake. We see that we need to do something different. We just see these things. We must also arise. It's an action. It's meaning that not only will I wake up, but it means I'm going to wake up and I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do something. I'm going to create an action in my life. I'm going to arise from the dead. Here, that phrase, from the dead, that Greek word is nekros. But it has a participle that is attached to it. It's literally mean arising from that which causes death. Understand this. It's not just arise from the dead. It doesn't, our English doesn't really grab it. It's arising from something that causes death. Do you know what causes death? What you say this, what's the big deal if a church that we don't really passionately seek after God? We're not following God like it says in verse number 9. We're not walking in love. What does it matter if we just kind of go on, we're okay with the status quo, and we just go on as things before, and we're not passionately pursuing God? In this verse, in context, it says, that is what causes death. Think about this with me for a second. What will empty, you know what creates empty and lifeless Christianity? It's sleeping saints. Do you know the effects of empty and lifeless Christianity? Do you know what effects it has on the community? What effect it has on light of the gospel going forth? It affects everything. He's literally saying in this passage, if a saint is sleeping, it is producing death. Can you understand this for a moment? You do not, your life, you no man lives unto himself. People will read your life before they will ever read the Bible. Do you understand that? And if you are a sleeping saint and you're lethargic and you're slothful in the things of God, there's really no passion and no vibrancy and no things that just drive you to seek after Him anymore. He calls you sleeping, but it says it produces death. It concerns me when we do not have such a light and a testimony in our communities anymore. When the Church of Jesus Christ across America is not filled with power and passion and zeal, but it's more characterized by being lethargic and going with the flow and stay, remaining the same. Can I plead with you? It is time for the church of Jesus Christ, us as individuals, that we rise again. We awake unto righteousness. We awake to seek God again. We get up out of our comforts and we arise and we make a conscious decision to do something. That is what we need to do. He says, awake. It's a plea. Arise from that which causes death. We cannot continue. I'll put it personal. I cannot continue to sleep in my faith anymore. I cannot continue to say, well, I did my devotions. Oh, I did this. When my heart is cold. When zeal is waning. I can't be lulled to sleep by things and by having material things and comforts and having all these things. I cannot be lulled to sleep anymore. God desires that we would awake from our sleepless state, from our sleeping, and then that we would arise from that which causes death. You ever thought of it like that? That if I am not taking my faith seriously, that it causes death around me? Why does God have a church here? You ever thought about that? Why does God have a church here? It's to edify saints, to go out and do the work of ministry. What is the ministry that God wants saints to do? He gave us a commission, didn't he? But if I, instead of taking his command seriously, instead of taking his word seriously and pursuing God, and I just choose to come and go through the motions and the routine, and I just kind of take my faith, and I'm kind of just lackadaisical about it, lethargic about it, it's not that serious to me, and I just, it doesn't really matter. Do you know what you are saying to this world? You are saying, I do not care that you will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. I do not care that you will die and you will stand in judgment before God and he will cast you into the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever. I do not care that much. Do you truly believe that these people are going to die and go to hell? Do you believe this? Is that truth of the scriptures? Then where is our urgency? Where is our passion? Where is our zeal? Where is our hunger for God? I'm sleeping. I hear your word. I see light, but I'm sleeping. Lifeless Christianity produces death. God didn't call us to just maintain the forms, sing the songs, give our tithes, read the Bible, do this, come to church, say hi, shake hands. No. We're not called to maintain. We are called to advance a kingdom. This isn't ease in Zion, this is war. I promise you, Satan is actively working on our communities each and every day. Why is he working when saints are sleeping? We must awake. There's a promise that is attached to this. It's not all negative. I promise you that. Look here. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Look at this promise here. And Christ will give us What is it? Oh. This literally means his face shall shine graciously upon us, or his favor or his hand will be upon us. If there's one thing that I pray every day for this church, is that God's hand would be upon it. That he would give us favor, like we read in Acts 2. That he would give his blessing and his power to this church. He promises us, he tells us to awake, and he tells us to arise. Leave these things behind, and he gives us an action. He says, get up, get out of bed, awake, arise. He goes, for this reason, I will give you favor. I will give you grace. I will give you light. I will enable you to do what I have called you to do. Do you understand what that means? Do you think God wants to bless this church with a revival? I believe it with all of my heart. I see it in Scripture. But revival isn't going to, it's not like the spiritual, it's not like we can just pray for revival and expect him to send it while we completely disregard and disobey Scripture as it has been revealed to us. See, if God's going to send light, we must respond to light. So if he's going to send more light and more blessing, we have to respond to this light. Does that make sense? If God's going to send a revival, he's not going to do it while you are sleeping. He's going to do it while you are awaking, while you are arising. Then he will send light. Then he will send revival. Then he will send blessing. But he is calling you to awake and to arise. Or, let's just continue with status quo. Let's just maintain. Let's remain comfortable. Let's cry, peace, peace. Right? Prophet Jeremiah, why do you cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace? This is not just something we can take lightly as believers. It's not something we can just pass on and just say, well, it really doesn't matter. No, we are called out people to glorify God among the heathen, that his name may become great, and they would see the Redeemer, their Messiah, and they would come to faith in him. My question, will you, will I awake from comforts, awake and arise from the status quo, and start off this year with a renewed zeal and passion to seek God like you never have before? It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. I don't care if you've been saved 50, 70 years, or if you've been saved 5 months. We need to have a renewed walk with Christ. This year, this has been my prayer. God, I confess that I need to wake up. I need to stop this spiritual sleep, this comfort. But God, I don't want to just wake up. I want to rise to my feet and actively do something different. I need to make a change in my life. I want to pursue you again. I want this renewed passion. I want a renewed zeal. I'm arising, God, and you have promised that you will give me new light and you will give me new blessings and your favor will be upon me. So, Lord, in my obedience, I'm awaking and I'm arising. As a church in a whole, I believe this with all my heart. We need to arise. We need to accept that God has called us out and we have a mission that we have been given, and we must accept this mission. We must get involved in our communities. We must reach our communities. We must get out of the walls here. We must get out of the status quo. We must get out of the mindset that is causing death, and we must take God's message out there. We must get involved. We must reach them. We must glorify God. If our light is hid, is it reach anybody? You sing it in children's church, right? Hide your light under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. Right? Am I singing it wrong? It's a simple truth, right? Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine, right? He gives us light that we may be light bearers. I believe this, and I want this so bad. Will you this year make a decision with me to have a renewed zeal and passion to seek after Christ again? Go above and beyond what you've ever done before. Awake from all that. Leave that. Depart from that. Arise. And seek God again. Seek Him with renewed passion and zeal and a hunger to know Him and to see Him do great and mighty things. I want to see something miraculous, don't you? I've only read about it in books. I'm so sick and tired of reading about things that God did in the past. I'm so sick and tired of reading about revivals then and revivals hundreds of years ago and God doing great things thousands. If He just did it then, He can do it now. It takes us to respond to light. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, Lord, as we have gleaned these truths from Your word, Father, I pray that You would send a mighty revival in my heart, Lord. Lord, that it wouldn't just be empty words, but Lord, that it would be a renewed passion, a revived heart, Lord. Lord, a heart that truly hungers for You, not just to do it because I know I should, but Lord, a heart that truly loves You, seeks You, wants You. Father, I pray corporately that You would do a mighty work here through First Baptist Church, Lord, that You would stir our hearts, renew our hearts, renew us to a passion to follow You. Lord, renew our hearts to walk in love. Lord, renew our passion for the people that surround us that You have called us to reach, Lord. Father, give us light, I pray. Father, help us to be obedient to these truths. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.